going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. We start obviously with the Chiefs at pick number 32 last night after trading down one spot with the Philadelphia Eagles, acquiring an additional fifth round pick. The Chiefs did. They select Joshua Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State. We've been talking about him throughout the day. We'll continue doing that, obviously. Kansas City last night, though, did hold a little media availability. Andy Reid said that they expect Joshua Simmons to be available for training camp. So now you take a look at just what potentially could happen in St. Joe. Joshua Simmons, Jalen Moore, Jawan Taylor, all options at tackle for the 2025 season, maybe. If not, certainly looking ahead to the future, at least two of those names. Picks in round 2 and 3 tonight for the Chiefs. They got 3 of them. See what they do. We'll talk more about what we think they should do a little bit later on.
Trade up, trade down, which picks we want. We'll get into all of that here in just a little bit. Next up on What's Trending, Royals winners of 4 games in a row after sweeping the Rockies yesterday, winning both games of a doubleheader in, I don't know, relatively easy fashion, all things considered. No update yet on Cole Reagans, who did leave the first start of the game with a little groin tightness,
I believe
is what they called it, after just 3 innings of work. Bullpen really picked him up. Offense really picked him up. They'll begin a series against the Astros tonight. It'll be Seth Lugo on the mound. Royals now just 2 games back below 500 and 3.5 games back in the AL Central.
Yeah,
too early for games back, but you know.
Yeah, and I hear you. 6:40 first pitch, Ferns on Deck Show, 5:30 right here on 96.5 The Fan. Elsewhere in the draft tonight, everybody's keeping an eye on who could go off the board very early on when round 2 begins. Some of the big names remaining, obviously, I think, headlined by Shador Sanders. We're going to talk about that in just a bit. The quarterback, of course, out of Colorado. Also, Will Johnson, a corner. Mike Green, edge rusher that's been talked about quite a bit. Travion Henderson, one of the top running backs, just to name a few of the players, including local product Luther Burden and Ariante Ursary, all available still in round 2. We'll see how long they have to wait to hear their name called this evening.
Next up on What's Trending, local soccer action this week in Sporting Kansas City will take on Cincy tomorrow, and the KC Current will take on the North Carolina Courage tomorrow as well. Again, still the only undefeated team in the NWSL. KC Current off to a perfect start.
That's right. That's right. Lastly, NBA playoffs do continue. They were going on last night, as a matter of fact. How about the Knicks-Pistons game? The Knicks found a way to get that 118-116 win. The series lead is theirs, 2-1. The Thunder up 3-0 in their series. The Clippers up 2-1. Boston up 2-0, and they'll begin their series tonight, or continue their series tonight, Celtics and Magic. Also this evening, the Pacers, who are up 2-0 on the Bucks, and then the Lakers and the Timberwolves, series tied at a game apiece. That continues this evening. That's what's trending on Cody and Gold. Don't forget, we are 8 days away from our Cody and Gold road trip.
Hell
down
yeah.
To Springfield, Missouri, to watch Cags, who, by the way, was playing some right field. We're going to get to that in a bit, but playing some right field last night.
Okay.
But at last check this morning, 150 listeners have signed up to join us in Springfield. Reminder, if you pre-ordered a t-shirt One, those are closed, but if you did, you can meet us at Harbell's Bar and Grill, which is a few minutes away from the stadium, beginning at 3:30 next Saturday. That's May 3rd. The weather also looks great right now, 73 degrees and sunny. So all is hopefully setting up for a great weekend, a great day, I should say, in Springfield next Saturday to watch CAGs.
In about 10 minutes, I'll tell you why I think Caglione will for sure still be in AA on Saturday, May 3rd.
Famous last words.
I know. I said pretty sure we'll be there, but we'll talk about Caglione playing right field because it's not nothing across the board, but we'll tell you exactly how much it is. But yeah, come out and see us. We're what, 8 days away, like you said, a little over a week. Weather's supposed to be nice. We're going to have drinks at a bar beforehand, go to a baseball game. Alex and I are staying down in Springfield. Dusty's staying down in Springfield so we can hang out after the game, whatever. We just want to have a great time going to watch Caglione play. All rocking our CAG shirt. Somebody from our group will throw out the first pitch. I believe they're choosing that.
Yeah,
but
one of the listeners that bought tickets through the ticket link will randomly be selected by the Springfield Cardinals to throw out the first pitch. So that's pretty cool.
You have to get there a few minutes earlier. Not that early. Just early enough to sign a waiver and, I don't know, let it rip.
That's right.
Don't embarrass us, okay? We're trying.
Or do and provide us content.
Or do. And yeah, and then Monday, be prepared to be absolutely buried on this show. You know? I'm warning you now.
Coming up in 20 minutes, we're expected to briefly chat with Dr. Jesse Morris. He's a sports medicine doctor. He had some interesting tweets last night about the patellar tendon injury in particular and the track record that has with NFL players in terms of getting back on the field, et cetera. We all know that's kind of the story around this Joshua Simmons pick and the Chiefs' faith that he's going to fully recover from this injury and be good to go at some point. They claim by training camp, but we'll talk to a doctor about that just to get a little more insight because we obviously certainly don't want to pretend like we know what the heck we're talking about when it comes to an injury or something like that. But that is definitely part of the convo around the Chiefs' top pick. Meanwhile, tonight, I mentioned some of the names that are still available, Cody, for round two and into round three as well. A lot of the convo centers around the quarterbacks. So we have two quarterbacks winning in round one. And months ago, everybody said, oh, two. Well, it's Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, obviously. Nope. Cam Ward and Jackson Dart. Dart goes to the Giants. They trade back into the first round. The quarterback room in New York is now Dart, Russell Wilson, and Jameis Winston. Not in that order, by the way. Russell wasn't starting.
Back to the Ole Miss train, huh? They decided it worked for Eli Manning. Let's just go back to the same school.
Sure, sure.
They so like the Chiefs' next quarterback going to be out of Texas Tech?
They reportedly like that they could run some RPO stuff and the athleticism over for Jackson Dart over Shedeur Sanders. Plus, there's obviously what seems to be a clear consensus that he's a second or third round quarterback, that there's some work to be done there for Shedeur Sanders. And I think there's a chance he's just the first pick tonight, though.
I hope for his sake, I guess it is. Mostly because like now I'm on the other side. It's not like you and I have just been applauding everything Colorado's done of all time, but it was weird last night. Normally when a player slides, the collective group of people are always like, oh man, tough. Kid's dream, you know? Hard to watch him go through this. And instead, everyone was like dancing on his grave last night.
It's kind of weird, isn't it?
And yeah, I did not like it. It felt kind of, and I think it's because he's braggadocious and he's,
no doubt,
he's arrogant or cocky or whatever it is. And as a result of that, people don't like it. I would just say this is not the first arrogant player to ever go through the NFL draft process. It turns out there's been a few. Sometimes that's good in an athlete, despite that. I'm just surprised he's fallen down this low. I know this is not a deep quarterback class. I have seen, I don't know how many times, 40 worst quarterbacks go higher than Sanders has gone in the first round. They have overlooked a lot of flaws from quarterbacks over a lot of years. I'm not sure why his flaws are unwilling to look over because he does have some things that really do work for his game, including the completion percentage and the toughness and some of this other stuff that really do favor him. I know the arm strength's a question. I know he gets sacked too much. I know he footwork needs some work. I know like the flaws that come with the player. I would just say that Jackson Dart possesses not the same flaws, but just as many flaws.
The question with Dart that I would have, and one is obviously how long till he gets an opportunity to play because you have Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. He's also potentially going to have a brand new coach and general manager after 1 year in the league. I mean, unless the Giants shock everybody, there's a very good chance.
Same thing as Eberflus, terrible way to go in the league.
Very likely Dable and that regime is fired after this year. So then a new regime's going to inherit Jackson Dart. So you never like that setup. But that could happen if they would have drafted Shedeur Sanders. The same thing would have applied. Jackson Dart, can he cut down on the turnovers? That's the biggest discrepancy to me between Sanders and Dart and why I would have chosen Dart over, or I would have chosen Sanders, over Dart. Jackson Dart had a turnover problem in college. Can he correct that? Shador Sanders, while he's flawed in other areas, actually one of the best quarterbacks in the country, turnover worthy plays or whatever. So that's my question. I do think he's off the board within the first four picks because Cleveland has two of them, right? Or two of the first five, I guess, or whatever it is tonight. If he slides past the top five tonight in round, you know, top five of round two, then we're talking about an epic slide to where he could be a late second round or third round pick.
Well, I mean, crazy. I will say we can't rule out third. I think he probably just goes to Cleveland with one of these first four picks. The reason why you can't rule out third round is, and this has been pointed out before, I'm not like breaking new information. Quarterbacks don't go in the second round. They just like, they either go in the first round or they go in the third.
Usually, yeah.
Like, I'm not saying there's zero instance. Will Levis is an example of somebody going in the second round. But like 90% of the time, you either go in the first or you go later. You know, second round is not usually a range for quarterbacks. If they would take you in the second round, they would normally go just take you in the first. Like, I mean, more often than not, that's just kind of how they do it. They trade back into the first or a million other spots to go with it. And again, I see the same stuff, right? I'd be like, oh, yeah, they didn't have custom draft rooms built for themselves. And
oh, he brings a lot of it on himself, no doubt. No question. But I'm with you where I don't get the rooting for somebody to have their, you know, dream of being a first-round pick not happen. Like, you may not like the kid. Clearly, a lot of you don't. You may not agree with the legendary room and like, why are you drawing all this extra attention, especially when you're not a first round pick? But what I won't get ever probably is the notion for someone that off the field hasn't gotten in legal trouble or anything like that, hasn't quote unquote done anything wrong.
Even if he's a teammate by all accounts,
even if he handles himself, maybe how you wouldn't prefer to, to see your quarterback handle himself. I don't know why you would root for him not to be drafted. You know what I'm saying? You can think he's not a good quarterback, but I don't get the rooting for anybody unless it's somebody that clearly had a bunch of baggage and in terms of legal trouble. And you're like, oh, this guy's just a piece of, you know what? That's not what we're talking about here. We're like, you don't like that him and his father are very confident people and in your face people. That just admit what, you know what I mean? Just admit it instead of trying to like beat around the bush. That stuff drives me crazy.
Yeah. Because if you just don't think you're a good player, there's no other player that you didn't think was a good player. You're just burying.
Cause today, the whole like Deion's going to meddle in the business thing. In October, Deion was acting like, hey, I'm going to tell teams where they can draft him. They quickly realized he wasn't going to be a high draft pick. And so Deion did not meddle in the draft process. He claimed he was. He didn't because he recognized that was never going to work because his quarterback, his son, was not going to be a top 10 pick.
The one really funny clip from last night was Shador was sitting there and he was like, they got Joe Flacco quarterback. He was talking about with the Browns. And he said, Flacco, man, he's my age. I was just dying. That's such a funny line.
Well,
and not wrong necessarily. It's just a funny line. I look, the dart thing, I'll just be honest. It is exactly like the Eberflus thing. And I told you then it was a terrible decision.
Yeah.
You cannot make a worse decision than to take a college quarterback, put him in a position where he's going to sit, immediately force him probably, you know, to be like week 9, Russell Wilson will be 3-6. They'll throw him in, then they'll fire the coach, then they'll have to learn a new system, and we won't know 3 damn years into it if Jackson Dart's any good if they haven't already ruined his career. Fit for quarterback matters. Sanders should be hoping that the Steelers still like him and they take him in the second. That's still...
The Steelers don't have a second round pick, though, right?
Oh, God,
don't they have to trade up?
Fine.
They don't have a second round pick.
But that should still be the team he roots for finding a way to end up on. That they trade Pickens for a fourth and use that in their third, or I don't know, whatever.
Do you guys think, though...
They should be rooting for something else.
Do you guys think with the Steelers not taking a quarterback in round one and currently not having a second round pick, it either means they deep down truly believe Rodgers is coming home?
Yeah, I think so.
Or they think, well, if Rodgers even bails on us, we could just trade for Kirk Cousins before the
season. It's probably more Rodgers. Didn't you see there was at least one report yesterday that said that they wanted him to tell him 48 hours before the draft? And then one report said, and they have an idea of what's going on. I think it's just like Aaron Rodgers is going to Pittsburgh but doesn't want to report to work yet is kind of my
feeling. That's fine. I'm not worried once he's there. I still would be worried until he's signed.
Yeah, in stone.
All of a sudden, I mean, we joke about it, but I'm being dead serious that he truly wakes up one day after sleeping in a cave one night and decides he doesn't want to play anymore. Like, that's a real thing that's happened, so that's why I'm bringing that up. It's not even like trying to make fun of it, but like, that's literally, he's the only quarterback where you have to worry about that. No other quarterback is going to wake up one morning and decide not to play.
No.
But that currently, him, like, that's it.
But with him, it's a very real fear. I told you earlier, if you made me guess right now, ranking out what I think their careers will finish at, I would take them in order of Ward, because I know his circumstance and I like it better than the other two at the moment. Sanders and then Dart. I hate Dart's circumstance. They did this to Herbert too. It is hard to be successful when you're just giving a lame duck coach into a quarterback and you got to reset everything. It's just so stupid.
Yeah, I want to see the Titans, though, for Cam Ward's sake. You know, maybe it's Luther Burden tonight. They need to get some wide receiver up. Their current wide receiver room is Calvin Ridley, Van Jefferson. They did sign Tyler Lockett, but he's a vet at this point. We all love Tyler Lockett, but he's not the same player as he was five years ago. Yeah. James Prochet, Treylon Burks. Like, I think they need a Luther Burden or any of these other quote unquote top remaining wide receivers that are left. All of a sudden, if you told me the Titans had a Cam Ward, Luther Burden, first two picks in the draft, you know, this evening or these first 2 days, that's really strong.
Yeah, I would think so. They better put a weapon there. They might go running back too. I don't think they will, but like, they just need another offensive weapon. We always talk about this with rookie quarterbacks. Talent, man. Surround with talent. And look, the Browns could end up. The Browns trade, I loved. You only move down two spots. Maybe you weren't willing to go wide receiver and running wide receiver and corner for Hunter. You still get a really good player. You own the second round of the draft now with two of the first four picks. Like, you get to kind of make your fate here a little bit. And they're a bad run team typically, so they might screw up all these picks, but their strategy is a good one.
How many quarterbacks get drafted tonight, guys? Rounds second two and three, obviously. So Sanders is out there. Duh.
I think
Jalen Milroe, the kid go. Out of
my guess is
Chuck or whatever.
Chuck will go.
That's a good question. No, he won't.
You don't think he goes in round three?
I think now that these other guys are available in round two and three.
You think he's like a fifth rounder?
I think he's like a fourth or something, yeah.
I don't think he should go. I think he does.
Milroe and Sanders.
I think those are locks. I just wonder if the question is, do we see a third? I think those two for sure, Milroe and Sanders, maybe whether it's second or third, are going.
I don't know. Shuck or Quinn Ewers, maybe.
Quinn Ewers.
One of the two.
I think the second.
I think Quinn Ewers is better
than
Shuck.
Is there a scenario?
I take this as a sign for the rest. If nobody was even willing to give Sanders a second round, now all of a sudden I think people are willing on Ewers and a third. Ewers and a third.
We just don't know how people. If Sanders slides, then it tells us, like, nobody liked him. I think he's going to be one of the first picks tonight, but like, if we get to midway through round two and he's not taken, then I don't think it's crazy to think that Milroe goes before him.
And Will Howard's another name people are mentioning.
Tonight?
I think Howard's four.
I don't think Will Howard goes tonight.
They mentioned third round for him in the pre-draft process.
I just don't think they're three.
I mean, look at all the quarterbacks. There aren't that many quarter teams looking.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, that's part of it. I think it's like two. And it's a bad quarterback draft class, so... You know, I just feel like it's going to go that way.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we're expected to be joined by Dr. Jesse Moore, sports medicine doctor, to talk a little bit more about Joshua Simmons, his injury case, the patellar tendon injury. What kind of prognosis does it typically have for NFL players? How common is this specifically for offensive linemen? And does he believe it is realistic that he could be ready for training camp, like the Chiefs have been saying as well? So that's coming up in just a bit. But we mentioned our Cody Ingold road trip to Springfield coming up next Saturday to watch Cags. And for the first time in his professional career,
yes,
Jack Caglione
played in high school, he told us,
played
remember?
Right field last night, which we said, if you're wanting him to get up to AAA and eventually to the big leagues, he's going to have to play some right field. Well, the first time of that happening was last night.
The first time when his name came up in spring training and all this other stuff, and talking to some people in or around baseball, the thought was, you don't even need to start a conversation about him going to AAA or the majors until you at least him physically see him play right field. So this was a step. Like, there's just no way to... I mean, that's a step. This is a step that they were going to have to take before he ever got to the big leagues. Gold, you and I agreed he would never not make AAA or the big leagues, maybe AAA, without having played some right field. To my understanding, he has been taking some reps out there in a practice situation. This is not his first time out there. I watched the one highlight, not highlight, I watched the one catch he made in right field that somebody sent a video out of. Little baby deerish. You know, little jelly-legged, but not terrible. He obviously ran down the ball and got it near the warning track. I still think he's a few weeks away from AAA, at least. I still think he's months away.
What is he, from the major 16 leagues. Games into AA this year? 16 games, 18 strikeouts. He's hitting .288 currently. He was around .300 before last night.
My whole thing with him is, like most prospects, I cannot, the sample size is very small. It's just too small. I'm not in a rush on Jack Caglione. I'm in a rush to go see him on May 3rd in Springfield. I'm not in a rush to get him to the big leagues right now. The other part is Drew Waters is playing well. The major league team is winning some games right now. So there are some options to not feel the need to, and people want to see maybe Peyton Wilson in AAA perform. There are other options in AA who could spend time in AAA as well. It's still too crowded. You got to get raved to the majors. You got to cut Renfro. You got to make like five moves for any of this to like kind of get through the
wisdom. That's why the timeline.
Him playing right field's not nothing, though. I'm not going to pretend like that's nothing at all. I mean, you know.
But that's why the timeline, if you thought it was going to happen this year, is like an August type of timeline, not a May timeline.
Yeah, I still think way later. I think the earliest he would get to the big leagues is like July or August. Yeah, and I still think like some things would have to happen. And now, not AAA, just to the big leagues, major leagues.
No, he's going to clearly be called up to AAA at some point in the next month to 2 months. That's very obvious, I mean, at this point.
He's hitting the ball so hard. His bat speed numbers are crazy. He got hits off of some major leaguers. The biggest things still are he strikes out too much. And he doesn't walk, you know, like he could walk
18
more.
Strikeouts in 16 games.
Yeah, that's probably the big one. And I'm sure the Royals, I imagine, have underlying data that I don't even know about that maybe suggest to them that they're outside of there. It's like they like players to dominate the level that they're at. And what do we qualify as dominating, right? Does he have to be Alex Gordon when he was in AA? You remember his stats in AA? I mean, he was in like 450 or something. I don't think you have to be that in order to like get the call up, but I think you got to be better than not better. Like you got to either do this for a longer period of time or be even better than this if they're going to give you the call to AAA faster.
All right, coming up next, we'll get to the random question of the day. We're also expected to have Dr. Jesse Morse join us to get some perspective on this patellar tendon injury that Joshua Simmons had back in October. It's why many believe he fell to the Chiefs at 32. So what's the prognosis with that and how it could impact the start of training camp as well? That's coming up.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality but never overpriced. Visit dollarshaveclub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Next. Back here on Cody and Gold. Hope you're having a great Friday. We certainly had a great time hanging out with a lot of you last night at the Landing in Liberty. Of course, the draft coverage picks back up again tomorrow as far as from Bink and Chris and Osero. I think they're on for 6 hours tomorrow.
Whew.
Yeah. Bink, rest up, my man. Rest up. He enjoyed talking to Bink earlier. Not
he's
a fan.
Thinking you should know MSRP of Corvettes.
Yeah, if you missed it, he's not a fan of the Josh Simmons pick, and he gave us his reasons for that. And if you missed that, I believe we'll have a social media clip up where he compared Josh Simmons to a Corvette.
This was his initial reaction last night as Chris Nocera broke the news to him.
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it.
So that was Bink last night.
And some of it because he was the biggest contributor to the they'll never take an Ohio State player.
He gave us his reasoning. I still believe the reason why it's not just, don't like the pick and it's like hate of the pick for him is he was convinced
they wouldn't do it.
And both Chris and him, in fairness, they wanted Luther Burden, and Luther Burden was on the board still, and that's who they wanted. Yeah. Everybody has their guy, but it was great to listen to Bink live. I was driving back when I heard Bink's reaction to it. I think we're having some issues connecting with Dr. Jesse Morse. He's obviously probably busy as well, but I want to go into a tweet that he sent last night, because this is what we were going to ask him about, and it's in relation to the number one really story around the pick of Josh Simmons is the injury. And it's a patellar tendon tear that happened back in October. And Andy Reid and the Chiefs said, hey, they trust their medical staff. They believe he could be ready for training camp. Even though I still think it's more about 2026 and beyond for him. And if they're right on the injury stuff, then they got a steal maybe at pick 32. But it's a big, big question and risk. So Jesse Morse tweeted out last night, Dr. Jesse Morse, he said, Josh Simmons returning from this patellar tendon tear and repair. He referenced like a study, not to get too nerdy with it, but I thought some of it was interesting. He said a study came out in February of this year, actually, that reviewed 80
new study
NFL players with either quadricep and patellar tendon repairs. The risk for patellar tendon injury was higher for offensive linemen compared with other groups. The return to play rate for quadriceps tendon injuries was greater than 58%. But what we're looking at is patellar tendon injury return to play rate was 55%. 55% of the 80 NFL players studied, or of the 80, however many were patellar tendon, right?
Sure.
55% of them returned to play. That means that 45% of NFL players who suffered this same injury that Josh Simmons has never returned to the field. Now, I don't think anybody's saying that and believes that he's never going to be able to make it to the field again. The question
is, not talking about it like that's even a possibility.
It's more about to what extent, right? He went on to say in this tweet, patellar tendon injury summarized, more common in offensive linemen, worse return to play rate, 45% never return to play, slower rate of return to performance, worse rate of return to prior performance. And that's the part that I think matters, honestly, more. I don't think anybody's questioning, can Josh Simmons physically play a snap in the league? Can he be the same player when he returns? That's the million-dollar question.
Can he be 95% of the player? 90? Because, like, this doctor's quote's exactly saying, like, hey, I think there's a chance he's 10 to 15% less of the type of athletic player he was based on this injury. And it's like, would you take, and here's the thing, too, probably, if he was 10% less of a guy that everyone's trying to tell me would have gone seventh overall, but he's at 32, I don't know. I mean, I'd probably take that kind of drop down in play. This is the tough part about an injury of this serious nature, is that then we're really getting into how individual bodies respond to an individual injury, and it's hard to just put them in this big gross camp, like an aggregate camp together where we feel they're all the same, because half the players didn't even come back to play. Maybe those players were already on their way out the door. Maybe those players weren't good players to start with, and having an injury like that wasn't going to allow them to play. Not first round talents, which Simmons is. And so it's a tough one, but this is the thing with the if it weren't for the injury, nobody would even question this.
Well, he wouldn't have been in our 32.
Yeah, but even if he was, no one would. If there were other flaws in his game that they were worried about,
yeah,
it wouldn't have mattered. Nobody would question this. The whole thing is whether or not this knee holds up for the long haul.
One sack allowed since 2023 and 601 pass block snaps, but it is all about the injury he suffered in October. And at this point in time, until proven otherwise, though, you hear the Chiefs last night were very confident in saying he's going to be ready for camp. I think even Brett Veach mentioned that when they first told when they told Rick Burkholder, the team trainer and doctor, when they told him, hey, this is a guy we want you to check out, right? Like and look into medical file and obviously take a deeper dive. And I think Brett Veach even mentioned, like, at first the reaction from Rick Burkholder was like a little skeptical, not once he saw it, but like in general, hearing about the type of injury, like it's not a injury that is usually, you know, what you want to hear from a football player and certainly an offensive lineman. But then as they dove deeper into it, they were like, no, this is in better shape than we thought. I'm paraphrasing, but it's in better shape than we thought. And they're confident that's why they made the pick. I mean, doesn't mean that they will be right, but they don't make the pick unless they're confident that the injury is going to be fine.
The entirety of his career, though, I will say, I think you're going to have a better backup left tackle situation than you've been rolling with at times in which you're really confident in it. I was thinking about this from the Trent Williams case. I'm not claiming Joshua Sims is Trent Williams. Trent Williams in his first like 8 years in the league missed like 30 games. Still missing games. Missed games so that Jalen Moore, the Chiefs' current starting left tackle, could play. So Trent Williams throughout his career has been injury prone, right? He's missed a lot of games. That has not stopped any of these teams from wanting to pay him, keep him on their roster, because 13 games of high-level left tackle play, which is what the Chiefs might get, even if he has injury problems where he has to have games off of his knee, is a whole hell of a lot better than 17 games of the type of left tackle play they have been getting. And so I do think that this injury is going to come with an additional need, Gold, of always feeling like you've got some other left tackle guys floating. Like, you're going to always want your Wanye. And I know that you try to do that anyway. I don't think they've had as good a coverage here lately over the last couple of years because it's not easy. I think they're going to have to work harder to do that. But, I mean, there's no doubt this is the thing I'm the most worried about. Of course it is.
Somebody on the text line asked this earlier, and I think it goes along with the report that I saw last night. Somebody asked earlier if it was an injury thing, but all the teams felt that he was good, then why didn't he just go earlier anyways if he felt like he was medically fine, which goes along with the Jeremy Fowler report last night that several teams agree Josh Simmons had the best tape of tackle, and it's not even a medical concern. It's a maturity and character issue. I don't know if that's something out of left field, but it seems like based on what Jeremy Fowler says, teams agree like, hey, this dude could be really good, and the injury, he's probably going to be able to get past it, but they're concerned about a character issue.
Here's part of it.
What is that? Because we didn't hear anything up until last night, at least I didn't.
No, I hadn't either, and I think it's just like they think he's like an immature player. Maybe it's like the he doesn't love football enough stuff, which I think maybe gets a little overplayed anyway. I think we do ourselves a disservice a little bit as NFL draft watchers with the 31 teams think Josh Simmons stink. And I'm like, okay, first off, let's talk about how many times those teams are wrong, right? And a player goes in the second round and is a star. How many redraft things, Gold, we'd have to do in order to find all the guys that didn't work. So, like, let's just take out the human error part of it for a minute. 10 to 15 of those teams don't need a left tackle. Okay? They have one. They don't need a left tackle. They were never, so at least half weren't even going to take a left tackle. Then a few more were going to take quarterback instead of left tackle or had higher needs. You might be down to about five teams who were kicking around Josh Simmons after pick 12 and would have kicked him around considering the injury history or the character concern or whatever.
The one you
have
to question the Commanders took a tackle at pick 29 and they went with Josh Connerly Jr. at Oregon. They did not take Simmons. So what did they see?
They also have a more immediate need on their offensive line than the Chiefs.
Yeah, but that's the question. Well, they do and they don't. They just trade for Laremy Tunsil, and then they do have Andrew Wiley still, their former Chief. Now, clearly, they're going to have a brand new left tackle and right tackle. Yeah. Some of it is, could they afford to redshirt? I still think this is where Bink and I disagree on Josh Simmons. We both agree the risk that's involved in the injury. Where I disagree with him, though, is this note. He said the Chiefs can't afford to redshirt. I disagree on that. Jalen Moore, right this second, can be the left tackle. In 2025, Juwan Taylor can be the right tackle. It is still more about 2026 and beyond. Now, if Josh Simmons is good to go for camp and he looks amazing and he beats out one of them, that's great. What a get that is. but it's about 2026 and beyond. They have their left tackle and right tackle. They had to play a football game tomorrow.
I guess his argument is that you're in a window to win. You should want players who can help you now.
And they got a chance to do that tonight.
And I told you, 99% of the time, I agree with Bank. I really do. This is the only player on the entire draft board I would have made this exception for, because he has a chance to be a starting left tackle in a draft where there were very few potential starting left tackles. Like you said, I think you could ask it about that, or you could ask it about Gray Zabel at 18, right? If you wanted, and say, hey, why didn't the Seahawks think that the guy who's going to be the start, you know, like, ooh, there. But like, there is a point where there's no other tackles taken outside of that other than the one you mentioned for the Commanders. And so, yeah, I guess I don't get too hung up on it.
Isn't that
like Connerly will be? He wasn't available for the Chiefs, so I guess it's not so much like, oh, they pass on him. But that'll be the tackle in the draft that people will, you know, we always do the linking stuff. Yeah.
Gets taken at Ursary.
Ursary, right? That'll be the one that in 3 years from now, if one's not playing or one's terrible or whatever, everybody's going to say, well, you could have had this guy. That's the game that everybody plays.
I mean, let's say Simmons is fine. He's a starting left. He's Orlando Brown Jr. He's fine.
Yeah, that's a win, by the way.
That's a 32?
That's a massive win.
I was going to say, in the first round.
Bang the gavel.
That is a win.
That is a huge win.
That's what, because
at pick 32, if he is a 10-year NFL starter, it's not just a win. It's a home run at 30. At left tackle, right tackle, it would be a pretty good hit.
Five different left tackles starting the Super Bowl. So if you could have one that's stable at left tackle for four, you know, let's just start with the rookie contract. Let's call it 4 years, because maybe he doesn't play in 2025. Maybe he doesn't play until 2026. Yeah, I think everybody would sign up for that.
Because I think that's part of the deal with what Bink is. I'm trying to like rationalize what Bink is saying on it. For the 2025 perspective, I get it. But also what level does Josh Simmons have to play at for you to say this pick was not a good one and we should have gone in a different direction, whether it be another offensive lineman or not? Was it worth the risk? And like, where's the
not a starting
tackle? Is there a gray area, or is there a black and white? Either he stinks or he's great, and there's no gray area in your determination of it.
It's really funny. Offensive lineman is the easiest position to judge whether, like, wide receiver's tough, right? If they're like Mecole Hardman, right? He's a great case study of, is this a successful pick, Gold? Second round pick, won some Super Bowls with you, put up some yardage, but not a lot of yardage. Would you go, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's actual debate with tackle. It's so easy. Are you a starter? If you're not a starter, you're dead to me. You failed. It didn't work. There is no rotational offensive tackle. So if you're a swing tackle, you're dead. It doesn't matter. The pick failed. If you are not the worst starter at pick 32, if you are the 19th best left tackle in the NFL, it worked. Anything above that is just increasingly better in difficulty, in success rate.
So you think
I don't even think it's like a question. Like, we wouldn't even argue. No one would argue over what looks right at tackle and what works.
So you think if Josh Simmons is a 19th ranked tackle his entire career, then that's a win?
If he plays 8 years in the league, absolutely.
Considering with where they've also been as a franchise at left tackle recently, yes. Now that's, by the way, that doesn't mean that's what you want it to be.
That sounds like a low bar, but it's not. It's hard to be a starting tackle.
You would love for him to be a top 10 left tackle in the league, of course. And by the way, if the injury is not a concern, they think there's a chance he is that. That's also why they were willing to do it and take on the risk, because the risk they're taking on is not because they only think he's going to be a starter for 10 years. They're drafting because they also think there's a chance he becomes a top 10 tackle in football. I really believe that. Like, that's what they're hoping. Yes. I'm not saying he's going to be that, but that's what they're hoping.
They don't take the chance if they think the ceiling is the 19th best tackle in the NFL. They're hoping that's the floor, just as long as he stays healthy. If they thought the ceiling was that, no, they think there's a chance he's a top 5 left tackle in the NFL, like some people would have said about him, depending on the injury. But it's tackle, like, offensive line is the easiest thing. Like, you're a starter or you're not. And just as long as you're not a laughably bad starter and they're trying to replace you in 2 years, it's working.
So, I'm trying to think of, and this is, I guess I'm in a way trying to play devil's advocate, because I think Simmons is the right pick, but let's say if he is the 19th best tackle, I think it's a fail for them
picking disagree.
Him in the spot where they did because of the draft class not being good, where let's say they take, Eamon Worry, whoever. Name any other player that you might have wanted there, Mike Green, and he pans out to be great.
Yeah, but that just comes to the same risk.
I understand
that. He might also stink.
But
But we can, Drew, we can play that
with every
we can
pick,
play
though,
the, no, that's my point, though. We can play, we can, this is where Cody and I
There'll
always get into it about the wide receiver stuff.
I think it matters more when they're picked right near each other. If Ursary goes 35 tonight and Ursary's a star, we're having a totally, that, like, I think you can compare those players. If some tackle in the fifth ends up being a dude like that, I don't know,
no,
that's
no,
just
no,
tough.
No, I totally agree, but I'm saying if you would have, like, why not, if you're going to use a redshirt year, why not take a guy that you can use in 25 and then use, if you're going to take a risk, don't make it an injury risk. Make it a...
He's saying Ursary, like a development risk. Well, they did that with Kingsley,
I'm not talking about that either. You take Mike Green this year, and then next year you trade a future first and maybe a future third to move all the way up to into the teens or the top 10 to get a guy that you know could be that guy instead of an injury risk. Like, why would you take a risk
because
on injury
because
you know the guy is basically a sure thing in 26?
Because they think that they got the guy that you're saying they should trade up for next year, and they got him at 32.
But you're banking on an injury
of
still.
Of course, that's why. That's well, you're not banking on the injury. You're evaluating that in your pick, and there's less risk at 32.
So I'm not even against what you're saying. I think I've largely advocated for the Chiefs. I've told you to make
that jump. Yes.
The Chiefs can do what teams do as starting quarterback because it's the second most important position maybe on the field. But the whole problem with this is you talk about a red shirt now. Now you have to you way more unknowns. Injury is just, I looked at his knee. Is it okay? The unknown of, am I picking 25 next year or am I picking 32? Are there how many first round tackles do we think? Because we thought Simmons was going to be in the top 15, but he wasn't. We thought Burton was going to be.
Who else needs tackles?
The unknown list gets really long. If your red shirt plan for next year is, let's just see what happens next year and we'll figure out left tackle.
That player,
it's just way harder to know.
And that player next year, if you're trading out that many spots, no matter what he looks like during training camp, he's 100% starting in that scenario.
Yeah, he's got to be Joe Walsh. He's got to be. He's got to be a star.
Totally.
So it's interesting. Look, the injury is the $1 million question.
Yeah.
Can he be as effective as he was prior to October? And again, I don't think we're getting that answer in 2025. I think it's a 2026 thing. All right, let's get to the random question.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Text line 913-586-7965. Of course, you can always hit us up Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, wherever you want. We live stream the show 4 hours every single day. So if you wanted our draft content today on video, it is available over there. The question I have is related to last night. We were all hanging out at the Landing in Liberty, enjoying the draft party. Great time. Somebody came up to me and didn't think I would remember them. So my question is whether you remember this. He is a person who lived on my street when we were kids. And he said, you probably don't remember me. My name is Co. I said, I remember the name of every kid who lived on my street as a kid. I thought we all did. So I proceeded to be like, your name's this. The Edwards were next to you. The Camachos were at the end of the street. The Jones used to live there. The Clausens up the corner. And I was trying to decide if I was just weird. And I think I could do a 4-block radius. I don't think I'd miss. I don't think I'd miss a single kid in 2, 3, 4 blocks out of the neighborhood. So the question is, do you remember all the kids who grew up on your street?
Just the cul-de-sac, not blocks. Just the cul-de-sac for sure.
How many kids in the cul-de-sac we talking about? There were a lot of kids on our street. Those people just lived on the street.
Not even like the Finks or the Tharnishes on the other side. There were 8 in the cul-de-sac.
Okay.
I absolutely can remember. And there's still in my parents' neighborhood to this day, there's still a couple of the same families. Not the kids.
Of the
kids I knew, a lot of their families have since moved out. But there's still people that live across the street and to the diagonal of my parents, the same neighbors they've had for 30 plus years or whatever, right? Like, so no, I know those families' last names or whatever. So yeah, I remember that, but not blocks and blocks. I don't know the whole damn development names.
We hung out with that grouping of people. Such a disproportionate.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I was friends with all of them because, like, it was probably a mixed bag. Sure. Because, you know, like, again, I could just keep, I mean, I could name 40 of them apparently. Drew, do you remember all your neighbors, all the kids?
We didn't have very many kids in our cul-de-sac, but we had, there were, so the cul-de-sac, because we also lived in a cul-de-sac. Once you get out of the cul-de-sac and you
go ooh la la in your cul-de-sac.
And it veers out.
You know what's funny is it doesn't feel like it because the way my street is shaped, I'm technically in a cul-de-sac.
You're just at the very bottom of it.
No,
and you got to go like all the way up a hill to
cul-de-sac
get to
it. Made it way easier for us to play basketball and to do all kinds of stuff, and it made it way easier than on being on a busy street.
We had more friends in the neighborhood in general than just the cul-de-sac was more. was families of kids who were either like older than us or they'd already moved out. We had friends in the neighborhood who would come and play basketball in the cul-de-sac or football or whatever the case was. But I would say we've had a lot of people move even just over the course of us growing up. So I couldn't tell you. I could tell you maybe three or four family names. Yeah, not very many out of the maybe 10 to 12 houses that were in that cul-de-sac, three to four.
Somebody's pointing out, first off, from that joke at the top is very funny. From the 816, I'm not going to read it, but it's very funny.
We can't go down that road, but it is funny, Tex.
It's also maybe true. From the 816, someone said, Gracemore was a different type of neighborhood then. We did all, there was a, and I just found this out, devastating news from this kid that saw last night at the draft party. He said the old neighborhood pool that existed. He said it's just like boarded up. It's just like filled in. I was like, oh, man.
They got rid of the pool? HOA stopped paying? Or
who
what?
Knows,
or
man? I don't know. Neighborhood got old. Every kid in that entire neighborhood, we all, like, because I'm not kidding. I might be able to name 70% of the families. That really, I'm starting to think That's about wild. It. I'm like, I feel like I know every street and every kid who lived on every street. Is there something wrong with me?
I'm surprised you know street after street after street again.
I can tell you what street they lived on. I was on Smalley. I could tell you the kids who lived on Manchester as we talk about like going down San Rafael, because like I was thinking about two blocks over, then it's like the Kings were further down there as I'm walking the streets in my head, I feel like I could tell you where everyone lived.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag on the text line.
I also had to walk a mile to school, so I had to go past a lot of these kids'
houses. There you go. Someone says they grew up in a town of 70 people total, and they don't know all of them.
This person said, I remember everyone. I lived on a dirt road, and it was just my brother and me.
That's it? Man, I did. Like, it's the only thing I kind of regret for my kids right now. Is right now, we're not in the mode of, like, they're just hanging out with all their friends in the neighborhood. I feel like I'd like more of that because that was a huge part of my childhood. But I told you once, we lived on a street. There were seven of us at the bottom of the street. One of the families I just mentioned, there were 11 of them. There were four at the top of the street, three. I mean, there might have been 30 kids on our inside of like a block and a half. I don't know why everyone decided to just move in the same part of the neighborhood. But there were unlimited kids there for a stretch. So some of it must have been that.
This person's just naming all the families.
I like it. I like
Giovanni's.
I like how they're just naming them.
Messinas,
like,
Messinas, Hernandez, Ferrantes, Scott's, Sharps, Malone's.
Maybe it's just different.
Good
I don't
for
know.
You.
Someone, they're naming all. These are all families I grew up near-ish. These are people who like went to high school and stuff with me. Decent chunk of those, but that's a slightly different neighborhood. That's not my neighborhood. That's a neighborhood of like, I don't know, like there's people I don't go to school later.
There's two sides of the neighborhood that we grew up in. It wasn't a big like development, but there's two entrances that were named differently for whatever reason. I went to school from like elementary school all the way through high school with this person, knew them. We knew each other. We're cool with each other.
That's wild, though.
Had no idea, no clue that they lived in the same neighborhood as me until I was like going on a run one day, and I was running, and they were getting home, and I was like, "Oh, hey, what's up?" They're like, "I was like, do you live here? Are you visiting somewhere?" They're like, "No, I live here." I was like, "No way!" So for like 10 years, I had no clue that somebody who I knew and was involved with in terms of friendship and went to class with lived in the same neighborhood as me.
Do you guys have any friends from first grade?
From like, yes. No.
I have
one of my best friends.
First grade, I got one. I got one still hovering from first. I'd have to go later than that for the others.
Yeah, from first grade, No.
I've got one.
Just one. That's all I got.
Then I've got, so my two best friends I've known.
Like, I still play fancy football and stuff with someone from my cul-de-sac that lived in the cul-de-sac as kids and everything like that. So
your friends, that's one.
But that's not, first grade, like, we didn't have the same class as each other. Like, he went to a different school.
He went to a private school.
So that's when you said first grade, I'm like, no.
That's tough. But cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
I'm not friends. Occasionally might run into, but like, I don't hang out with anyone that I just mentioned off of this, like, this block radius, but from, like, my street when I was a kid. But I still got one. I got a couple of friends that hovered from elementary school, but, like, two.
My two best friends I've known since elementary.
I don't even have that many friends from, I don't even, like, I mean, it might be a couple from high school and more from college. Like, there aren't even that many.
My best friend still to this day is from high school, but it just kind of depends. Everybody's going to be a little bit different on that. That's the random question of the day.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Cody.
Hey, man, he brought it up. He said, you probably don't remember me. I said, I know who you are. I know all these kids, apparently.
The fact that you said that quickly is a little creepy. Yeah.
I know who you are.
I know who you are. Jeez.
I don't know. I mean, he moved away. I think it was because he said
I know who you are.
He was a good baseball player when we were kids. I was never a good baseball player, so I was jealous of ones who were.
I didn't like you very much.
You were the jerk that did this.
He played on the better teams, you know? No, I don't remember. He wasn't a bad kid. We were way worse kids. Are you kidding? They probably said that about us. That's probably why they moved.
Because of the Tapp family?
Yeah, they probably moved because of us.
Up next, we're going to talk some draft. We'll probably ask that same question to Joshua Briscoe at some point in the 1 o'clock hour. But Briscoe's going to join us for a fan club Friday. We'll give his thoughts on Josh Simmons. What do we want to see happen tonight? The Chiefs have 3 picks. And then plus, of course, a couple more tomorrow. So that's coming up next.
Baseball's all about the games. And the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we started together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
John Cody and Gold.